What this world needs is a few more rednecks. So people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. If we could use a little peace and satisfaction, so good people up front take the lead.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is it
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite?
It sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now.
Okay. Now we should have sound coming up right now. And again, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 10th of May for those of you that missed this a while ago. And if all goes well, we're going to try to get Doc in here tonight and talk about some older, obsolete, extinct handguns and cartridges. And hopefully, and I'm not guaranteeing we're going to get him in here, but we're going to try everything that we can. So as soon as I'm sure that we have sound in here, we'll, okay, Doc, radio, Doc, everything's coming in. Desert Rat, you should be getting it here shortly if you're not already. All right, stand by 1 second here. All right, I'm back. Now then, I don't know what the, by the way, I don't know how what the weather is where you guys are, but it's about, let me check here. It is 40 degrees right here just outside of Sholo, Arizona. The wind's blowing. It's been cold. We had a heck of a storm come in yesterday. It snowed a little bit. It just spit, rained quite a bit. Got down to about 29, I believe, something like that last night. And it was just not a pleasant spring day at all. It was pretty nasty all day long. But we lived through it, so here we are. Excuse me. Some reason I think I swallowed a bug or something, or tried to swallow it, and it's not all the way down yet. All right. Now what's going to happen here as I bring Doc in here in a minute, we still don't have the means to do this, with Skype. I got to get with, the Tinker and, or, Chuck, I mean, and see if we can get this worked out. So we're going to try this through Doc's cell phone. And if it works, great, because that's why we're here. If it doesn't work, it's not so great. We'll have to figure it out and do it next week. So we can figure it out where we can get his voice in here, and he can hear me, I can hear him, but y'all won't be able to hear me. I can get you in here where you can hear me, I can hear him, he can hear me, but y'all won't be able to hear him. So in order to get both those things going, we're still working on it. So give me just a second here, and let's bring Doc in here and see if anything is going to work. If it doesn't, we'll have to do our long-awaited oddity handgun show next week. All right, stand by here just a minute, and... where is his? There he is. All right, let's try this and see what happens. I don't know. I have no idea if this is going to work or not. So let me know as soon as you hear something, and whether you hear it ringing. If you hear it ringing, we'll be able to hear Doc. Let me know if you hear anything. All right, there's Doc on here with us. Now we got to wait and find out if anybody else can hear you. Let's see what we got on the chat room here. How are you? Shouldn't be. Well, he said if you're talking, we can. All right. Well, I think we're going to have to, pull the plug on this, and I'm going to get with Chuck, and we'll get this worked out where I know it'll work, and we'll plan. What is this, 3 weeks now we've been trying to do this? All right, we'll do that. And I'm going to, in the meantime, Chuck says he's got the secret here to doing this, so I'm going to get with him. Find out what program I have to download to make this work, and we'll make it work. All right. Sorry about that, Doc. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, let me turn this thing off here and get rid of it. Sorry that didn't work. We've got what Doc had in mind, and what Doc always is so good at, is explaining some of these older... some of them obsolete, some of them just old model handguns and rifles. And he had a couple that were going to be the star of the show tonight. And these were the Astra 400 and the Astra 600. And then and how those came about and some of the history about those and the cartridges that they were made in and all that. And it's pretty interesting stuff. It's a good, it's going to be a good show, but, I've got to get this Skype deal fixed so that we can get him in here because, obviously it's not working right now. So Chuck knows how to do it. And I just haven't had a reason until Doc, talked to me about this show. I have not had a reason to try or to do it. So now I have a reason. So I guess I'll get on it and, get this fixed. And next time we bring him in, it'll be working. But like I said, I am not a total loss because I'm still, as far as I know, the only one in the universe that has figured out how to bring YouTube onto this software. So I don't know. There's bound to be somebody else somewhere, but nobody can happen to know where they're at. So one way or another, I'll figure it out. And there's your homework from Doc. Look up the Spanish Astra 400, the 600, and the Star Supermodel. Those Stars are neat little guns. There's several models of those things. They're rugged, very robust, and pretty reliable and shoot well. And if you find those at a gun show, you can usually find them in some model or another, maybe not the Model A, but some model at a pretty reasonable price, and it's a good buy. They're neat little guns. They're a little heavier than I like for their size, but they hold up well. So we got that done. Let's go back now. Susie B heard you counting at some point, but I guess not long enough to do the show. All right. Well, we gave it our best shot. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of that. No, let's don't get rid of that. Speaking of, we're going to do some things on gun. We got some news and stuff we want to do. But I've got a neat story here that came from, some of you know, I know that NM Glock knows who Phil Shoemaker is. Phil Shoemaker is fairly popular. I wouldn't go quite as far as to say famous, but he's well known. And he's been guiding in Alaska for some time and been on lots of bear hunts and stuff. And these are big bears, not black bears. Well, he was on a hunt here. I don't know what the date is. I'll have to look it up for you. But anyway, he said he's had more than one problem with a bear that got mad and everything, but not as mad as this one got. And he wound up killing a pretty good size brown bear with a 9mm. So, and I've always said that if you place your shots well, it's not nearly the caliber is not nearly as important as the shooter and where you place the shots. So he shot this bear 6 times, all in the vitals, all at very, very close range, very bad breath distance here. And, killed that bear dead. And ammo that he was using was from, I think it was from Buffalo Boar. And it was a 147 grain plus P plus or something like that. And he killed that grizzly bear. There was a grizzly also killed. This is not the first one that's been killed with a 9mm. It just happened to be the story that I pulled up here. We talked about this 2 or 3 months ago about big bears that have been killed with handguns that are not designed for big bears. You know, 44s and 45s and 454s and 460s and 500s, and you expect to see bears put down with them. You don't expect them to see them put down with a Glock 23. Or, there's one guy that shot one with a Glock. It was in his house in Alaska. And, he shot it and killed it with a Glock, with a 40 caliber Glock. And, 2 or 3 of them with 9mm. And And I've told you before, I don't think, it doesn't mean that these are bear guns. It doesn't mean that if you charge out into the Alaska tundra, Alaskan tundra here, and you want to go, go out and hunt grizzly bears, it doesn't mean that you need to necessarily arm yourself with a Glock 17. It means that that's what he had at the time. He was not expecting that kind of trouble, not in that area that he was at. And it's what he had. And he made it work. And I've said that about numerous animals. It, you know, when I killed that bear with that 22 Magnum here, actually it was a year ago this month, I wasn't expecting to go out in the yard and find a bear. I was expecting to go out in the yard and find a coyote. But it was a bear, and he was in the goat pen. The 22 Magnum is what I had in my hand. I didn't have time to run back in the house and get a 30-30 or something. So it's what I had, and I made it work. A single shot, and the bear tipped over. So, but that doesn't make a 22 Magnum a bear gun. So I think there's lessons to be learned from this and other similar stories. There are stories out there of there's at least two that I'm aware of. No, three. There's at least three that I'm aware of grizzly bears that have been killed with 22s. Multiple shots, absolutely. But if you can kill a 12 or 1500 pound bull, you know, a 1,000 to 800 or 900 pound cow with a 22, why can you not kill an 800 or 900 pound grizzly bear? You know, if you hit a bull in the head in the wrong place with a 22, it's probably going to ricochet off and you're probably going to piss him off. But if you get square and get in the right place, he's going to drop like a sack of potatoes. Why would a bear not do the same thing? If you shoot that bear in the eye with a 22 at close range, he's going to die. That doesn't make it a bear gun. If you shoot him in the vitals, you shoot him in the heart, or you shoot where the heart is, the 22 is not going to make it deep enough. The muscle's too heavy, bones are too heavy, even the ribs are too heavy. So you shoot him somewhere else. And that goes with every animal out there. There are people that have poached elk. I know some of them in Farmington that have poached elk with the 17 HMR. Does that make a 17 HMR a bear gun? I mean, an elk gun? Absolutely not. It makes those people stupid. But they did it. And it worked. And the elk went home and went in the freezer. I think it's a very bad choice, but it worked for them. It's what they had and they made it work. Denim Glock, you know, that's what it's all about is shot placement. And, you know, the, I killed that mule deer with my Glock 10 millimeter a few years ago. 112 yards, one shot. Dropped him like a sack of potatoes. But if you were to do the same thing with a 22 at that range and shoot it in the same place, probably wouldn't work. So you have to change your shot placement. The 10 millimeter worked great in the vitals at over 100 yards. A 22 won't. But a 22 will work fine right under the ear or between the eyes on a deer at that range with a 22 or a 22 Magnum. Been there, done that. So anyway, that's enough of that. That's there was a damn fine story in here today, and I got to find it again. It was, I can tell you about it, actually. This was a case where a guy had a good guy with a gun, happened to be, now why he was standing in his yard holding an AR-15, I'm not entirely sure. I don't have no problem with that, but I'm not sure why. His house had been vandalized a couple of times before. I don't know, there's some kind of bad blood going on there between him and some of the other guys around town. But this car came up to his house. He's standing out in the yard, three guys in the car, and they all start shooting at him. They said they fired over 40 rounds and never hit this guy. This is a police report. It's not just some wild story. And, well, just because it's a police report doesn't mean it's not a wild story. But anyway. And he fired back with his AR-15, hit all three of them, killed two of them. One of them still in the hospital. And, son, that's how you do it. That is, and this is why I push training so hard. The guys in the car, I don't know what they were shooting, but they shot over 40 rounds at a man in the yard. And he, at one point he run and got behind a bush, but that bush didn't stop anything that they were shooting. And, they probably haven't practiced shooting from moving vehicles at a man that is, moving around and trying not to get shot. The other guy, on the other hand, his brother said that he went to the range regularly and practiced. And it shows. And that's how we survive. That's how, there's been two or three stories here lately that of people that were not law enforcement, not former law enforcement, just civilians, concealed carry holders or the guy with the AR-15 or whatever the case may be, but someone that has practiced, someone that has trained a little bit, and they have prevailed in a big way. Remember we talked, one day last week, about the guy that got, me too, in M-Glock. I love stories with happy endings like that. We talked about the guy that got in a gunfight with three people. And I don't remember the results of that one. My memory doesn't do so well when I'm trying to bring all this stuff up. But anyhow, I was most impressed with this guy's performance there. Let's see, here was that story about the grizzly bear. Yeah, it was Phil Shoemaker, and it was Phil Shoemaker himself. He wrote the story and was the one that shot the bear. He says he'd been in Alaska for 33 years, had lots of close encounters, never had to shoot a bear that wasn't already wounded to protect himself. But the week or so ago, or before this was written, he said his good luck had changed. And the rest of the story I've pretty well. He said he's killed enough bear to know how important shot placement can be, even with large bore rifles. I was well aware of the limitations of my 9mm pistol, even with the big bore ammo. I was aiming for a vital area with each shot because it all took place between 6 and 8 feet. So they're not far off. By hitting the head and brain of a highly animated and agitated animal is a difficult shot. The two photos below, let's see. The bear was within 2 feet or less of Larry and his wife when I shot it. You can see the dead bear to the left. He's got some pictures here that you'll have to imagine here. Larry and his wife were fishing with me because he was going to a small stream I had fished before, which had numerous large male brown bears. I decided to take my Smith & Wesson 39-53 9mm rather than the 6.29-44 Magnum mountain gun I've carried for the past 25 years, as the larger bores are usually less of a problem than the sows with cubs. So let's, I appreciate him being a good shot and carrying good ammo in the 9mm and all that. He said when he got done, he had one round left. Okay, I appreciate all that. What I don't agree with is he made that choice to take that gun. If it's what you got stuck with, you're coming from town, something you happen to get stuck at, had a flat tire out in the wilderness and were attacked by a bear, that's a different story. He made the choice to take this 9mm. He'd done well. He did well. And it all turned out fine. But I still don't agree with the choice when he had a 44 Magnum he could have taken. This is why I think that the Glock 20, or now the 40 that they've come out with, is the ultimate handgun for these type of circumstances. It's light, high capacity, very powerful. And in that situation, 15 rounds in a reload, you got 30 rounds in a matter of seconds. There is no grizzly bear. There is no animal around that can take that much abuse from a handgun. But I'm not taking anything away from the guy. He's experienced. He's an expert at what he does. And it did well. I just don't agree with making the choice of carrying a 9mm where there's large male grizzly bears. And Vinny, that's funny. Vinny said there's been an earthquake, 5.2 earthquake in the area of Guam. And she says they hope it doesn't tip over. You'd have to watch a video of Hank Johnson and find out what she's talking about there if you haven't already seen it. Okay. he says he had his pistol out when the bear first appeared. Went straight for his clients. Larry and his wife fell backwards in the deep grass. She said the bear's face was close enough to hers that it could have bitten her. The bear was highly agitated and standing within 3 feet of my clients when I decided I could take a shot without endangering them. The first shot was at its neck, and then it began growling and spinning towards the impact. I wanted to hit the head, but the bear was moving so fast I simply began shooting each time I could hit a vital area. I hit it 6 times before it turned to run off, and my 7th shot was in its pelvis as it ran. When it dropped within 6 feet of the last shot, I checked my pistol and found I had only a single round left in the chamber, so decided against walking in and finishing it. Pistol was loaded with Buffalo Bore 9mm plus P, 147 grain flat nose hard cast bullets with a muzzle velocity of 1100 feet a second. I had previously tested and compared and proven such loads with my 357 44 magnums, and I was convinced that it would work. So there he goes. He wrote a letter to Big Boar about it, and I'm sure they're going to use that in their marketing and stuff. But, I'll have to check that, Doc. Where is that story? I didn't see. I must have missed it. Let me scroll up here and see where that is. Oh, there it is. Okay. Doc says a friend of his on patrol in Rhodesia has charged and stomped by an elephant. He emptied his FAL into it, and the elephant died, but not before it killed the guy. Well, the gun did the job, just didn't do it fast enough. And of course, we don't know where every shot went or how many times he shot it. The FAL, what is that, a 10 round magazine? Or they have 20? I think they have 20s for it. So, anyway. I don't know how fast he's shooting, how far away it was, or how many of them hit where it was supposed to be, but it did kill the elephant. Too bad about the guy. All right. Yeah, and that's what I wondered. In M. Glock, was there no backup magazine? Now, I don't care, if I was to say this to quite a number of people out there, I would be raked over the coals. But I don't care how expert someone is. I don't care how experienced. There is no excuse. There is no damned excuse. Now, for one thing, to carry a 9mm into big bear country, but if you're going to, if you have to, if it's all you got or circumstance called, there is no excuse not to have a backup magazine, a reload for it. This guy is not a pauper. He's got money. He's got means. He's got, he's got choices he could make. So why in the world would you go into bear country with a 9mm that has 7 rounds in it? He says he fires. Now, I don't know that he started out with a full magazine. I don't know what the capacity is of that one he had. But he fired 6, had 1 left, so if it was full when he started, I'm assuming it was 7 rounds. And I wouldn't go into bear country with 7 rounds in a a 50 action express without a backup, or, you know, a 460 Magnum without a without a reload for it. But you know, it worked for him, and he's alive, and so are his clients. So, you know, it worked. I'm just gonna leave it at that. All right, let's see here. You know what? We are past our break time with all this stuff I was trying to mess with here a while ago. So what I'm gonna do is back out of here for just a minute and get some of my stuff together, and then I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Now mama couldn't see him, oh, but he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayers. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny at the dark end of the road that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope? Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, to grace us with their mercy in our time of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours, to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. Let's see if we can finish this up here. I see that, you know, many men pin is, I think many is the epitome of a, how should I put this? If I say it wrong, many, believe me, it's not on purpose, of the average survivalist. Many has been very diligent in trying to get communications and get things going, you know, ever since I've first become involved with her back in 2011. And so what I'm getting at here is, as we're talking about the bears and the reloads and all this stuff, and many can see this guy is an experienced big game hunter, right? And believe me, I don't mean to put him down. I'm trying to understand. It worked for him. I don't agree with what he did, okay? And I'm not trying to put him down. I'm not pretending like I'm better, smarter than he is. I'm just trying to figure this out here. Hold on just a second here. And so Minnie comes on here, and she says, what if there had been two bears? And I would have to say, what if you had a magazine malfunction? What if you fell down and bumped your magazine release and shot that magazine out of there? What if you had a damaged spring in your last and only magazine? You know, there's a lot of what ifs. We don't carry extra magazines to gunfights because we think we're going to get in a gunfight and use up our whole 13, 15 rounds. We carry it because of, you know, like I said, accidentally punched the magazine out or you know, some other mechanical malfunction with it. What does, no, Susie B, she don't. And you need to not say that so loudly. It just seems, you know, I've been, as much as I've shot in my life, I've seen the weirdest things happen. I think I may have told you about the time I was carrying a Browning High Power and I crawled through a pipe fence. And as I crawled through the fence, for those of you that are familiar with how the base plate is on a Browning High Power, I scrubbed the pipe just a little bit with the base of the magazine. It was just the right angle where I kind of hit the little button, little detent in the center, and it wiped that base plate, floor plate right off that magazine. And here I am with a Browning High Power with a round in the chamber and a couple of loose rounds laying in the bottom of the gun, and the spring and the follower and everything shot out in the middle of the pasture, but I had a spare magazine. There's been numerous things that have happened like that over a period of, you know, 55 years of shooting. Well, no, probably 54 years, because I started shooting when I was about 6. So, somewhere in that area. So I just don't understand why a man would choose a 7-round 9mm without a reload to go into big bear country. But he survived to tell about it, and I guess for the same reason I shoot a bear with a 22 Magnum, so you can get on Facebook and tell everybody you did, I guess. I don't know. Okay, well, that's enough. I'm done with it. I'm not going back to it. That is enough. There's some of you have heard of Fabio, whatever his name is. Fabio. Amy corrected me in there already.
This guy was a model and actor, you know, long blonde hair and everything. He's from Italy. And even being born and raised the way he was and the life that he, lifestyle that he led and all that, he comes in here and says, don't ever give up your guns. He had an interview with a magazine published last week, and this story is 2 days old. And he said, don't ever give up your guns. If people lose that right, forget about it. Politicians, they will take everything away from you. And then what are you going to do, protest with a rock? Because that's what they do in Europe. The day you give up your weapon in the United States is going to be history, he said. The comments came, lengthy interview, blah, blah, blah. He's criticizing California's Proposition 57, a ballot initiative designed to save money on the state's criminal justice system by reducing prison populations through sentence reductions for nonviolent offenders. And, then he goes on to, pound on Jerry Brown there, Governor Brown. But he says, never mentioning the fine print of the measure, which Fabio said includes sentence reductions for human trafficking, including sex with minors, assault with deadly weapon, attempting to explode a bomb in a school or a hospital, discharging a firearm on school grounds, failing to register as a sex offender. The list goes on and on. Multiple media outlets published editorials. The run-up to the 2016 general election, mirroring Fabio's criticism, noting technical issues in the referendum's language left the term nonviolent undefined. So there is, you know, this is kind of sick here. As members of the California District Attorney's Association documented in a June meeting with the San Diego Union-Tribune editorial board, Proposition 57 classifies a number of sex crimes is nonviolent, including rape of an unconscious person. Now, I have a bit of a problem with that. The crime committed by a former Stanford, you guys, this was in the news for months, when that swimmer Brock Turner, it led to the national uproar after he was given a light sentence. The uproar led to the passage of a state bill that would mandate a strong sentence for those guilty of such crimes. Anyway, that's, Fabio goes on to say numerous times through this article that, you know, if people would have had guns at that time, everything hadn't been taken away, the rights hadn't been stripped from them, then things might have, been different. I didn't know this. Of course, I guess it's brand new is the reason I didn't know it, but I haven't heard any scuttlebutt about this at all. Gander Mountain is closing down, which is astounding to me. But Gander Mountain has announced over this last weekend that Radio Doc, you and me both, I would have never in a million years expected that from Fabio. But, you know, I've never been a fan of his, never kept up with him or anything. And it's probably my own fault because I probably stereotyped him and I shouldn't have because he is pretty obviously at least, a good part of him is on our side. And I'm surprised. Yeah, I was very surprised. That's the reason I wanted to tell you about it on the show is because I was just so, you know, kind of like flabbergasted that he was had. Yeah, Amy's in there. She said she's surprised too. And Susie B was too busy dreaming about Fabio to even know what the story was about. Yeah, well, he's okay, whatever. But Gander Mountain, I said over the weekend, they're going to liquidate all 162 locations, although they said they'll keep about 70 stores, will continue operations with refreshed inventory. I'm not sure where the 70 stores are going to be, but the going out of business sale advertised on the company's website, caused widespread confusion about the fate of Gander Mountain, with multiple reports surfacing of the Minnesota-based chain's plan to close all of its storefronts. So, if closing 162 of them, whether they close all or not, that's quite a significant change there. But then it goes on to say, you know, how much money they've made and how much they've lost and one thing. And I'm sure that Sportsman's Warehouse and Bass Pro Shop and things like that have been bad for Gander Mountain. But I'm sure that also that Gander Mountain had the chance to change if they would have. If these other people can sell cheap, and maybe it's their business practices. I don't have any idea. But I guess they're going to post the surviving locations on their Twitter feed there. However unorthodox that may seem, it says. So, Gander Mountain filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in Minnesota court on March 10th, indicating its intention to shutter 32 stores in 11 states and liquidate more than $500 million worth of assets. Court documents show the company will not sell the identifying information of the 1.8 million customers listed on its firearms registry. Instead, the names of 817,000 active customers and more than 1 million inactive customers will be sent to the BATF, according to court documents. So that's not good. What they're going to do when a business goes out of business, and there's not any succeeding FFL, all those records have to go to the ATF. So, names of 817,000 active customers and more than 1 million inactive customers will be sent to the ATF. Okay, that's not a good thing. If another business were buying them out, then they would have the option of either sending the records in or letting the succeeding FFL continue to hold on to them. A store and FFL is required to hold on to their records for 20 years, at which time then they have the option at that time of disposing of them or turning them in or doing whatever they want to with them. Anyway, the big news right now is that, I got a joke for you. Knock, knock. You know, this is going to be hard because somebody's going to have to say who's there on the chat room. Anyway, it's not Comey. Comey's gone. Are you out of here? All right. Trump just cannot possibly do anything right for these Trump haters. I've been astounded at some of the things that I've seen on Facebook today where, Comey's investigating Clinton and what a terrible thing it is. And then he's investigating Trump and he gets fired. And so that doesn't mean if there is any ongoing investigation, which I'm not aware of, the investigation doesn't stop because the guy gets fired. It continues on with a new leader there. So, what's the big deal? But Trump just can't do anything right. I expect this from the liberals. I expect it from the Democrats. And it doesn't bother me because that's their job. That's what they do. Democrats are against anything that we do. But I'll tell you what, I absolutely despise these conservatives or quasi-conservatives or whatever they are that continue to knock Trump. Okay, once he's been in there for a year or two and things are not going right, then maybe you got a little more right set to knock him. But, you know, he's been in there just a little over 3 months now. Damn, give him a break. Give him a little time to get things going. I don't care if you put Jesus Christ in that seat. He's not going to make everybody happy. There is no man, no woman on this planet that's going to make every single person happy out there. So Trump does all these things, good things, I think. And nobody's happy. He'll do one little thing and pisses somebody off. Oh, see, I told you. He's breaking all his campaign promises. Oh, shut up. Just stop already. Unbelievable. So I've been, let's see here. Juan McCain. If I could find something, I've got a deal here and I don't remember where I put it. Let me see here. Not there. Not there. Is it there? No. The heck did I do with it? Dadgummit. I'll be darned. Well, evidently I've misplaced it again. Is this it? No. Is that it? No. Well, poop. Well, I'll find it here sooner or later. Get it to you. But it was a list of things that I felt that Trump has done and done well and has been within, you don't have any idea what's going on in the White House or in the Capitol building. You don't know what kind of information he's getting, what priorities there are, things that are going on that I would assume are there to, or the reason they're talking about them and acting on them is to protect our freedom, protect the United States. Okay, I understand that he may not be everything that he claims to be. You know, there's a lot, I perfectly get that. But, as far as for my money, he's doing a fine job. And, I don't care. I really don't care what anybody else thinks. I will at some point, if he does the terrible things that all these people think he's doing, I will learn to hate him just like you do. But until then, I'm going to support him. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to hope for the best, pray for the best. And that's what I'm going to expect from him. So you can take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it for whatever it's worth to you. And I'm sorry, this has been kind of a disorganized show tonight, but poop happens on live radio. It's a lot easier when you can record it and edit and then put it out there like Rush Limbaugh does. But as soon as I get me a golden EIB microphone and $9 million a year salary, well, I'll make damn sure that happens for you. Until then, I will see you on Friday. Now, I'm going to be away from home Friday night. We are supposed to have Wi-Fi where we're going to be. We are supposed to be done working by 8 o'clock Pacific time. And if all that comes to pass, then there will be a new and current and exciting and awesome Liberty Lounge, which is going to be just exactly the one that we had planned to do the last two Fridays. And that is the old cowboy Western type stuff. Not country music, but cowboy Western Texas. You know, get it? That kind of stuff. That's what we're going to do. So unless you hear otherwise, everything will be a go and is planned for Friday night. So I'll see you then, and thanks for joining me, and thanks for putting up with my discombobulated show tonight. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it out.